Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for our Sustainable Singapore segment.
Yep, more than 71% of the Earth is covered with water, so that's why we call it the Blue Planet. But our oceans face various threats from pollution, oil spills, sewage, land waste, but especially from plastic.
Taking a look at some figures published in the journal Science back in 2015, between nearly 5 and 13 million tonnes of plastic enter the ocean each year. Single-use plastic consumption has increased during the pandemic, face masks, latex gloves, all being washed up on beaches around Asia.
Yeah, I'm just sort of disapprovingly nodding my head here, but it's tough. It's very tough at the moment. All of this has spurred our next guest to take action and make protecting the environment her job. Sustainable is her social business.
Yeah, so it supports marine conservation in Southeast Asia, particularly in the Philippines, Indonesia, Brunei, Singapore and Malaysia. This was launched in 2017.
Yeah, and it encourages people to lead more sustainable lifestyles, be increasingly aware of their impact on the environment and channel 50% of profit to environmental organisations in need.
So since they launched, they've contributed over $30,000 to over 33 conservation projects across five countries, impacted over 5,200 individuals in local communities through their Sustainable Grant, as they call it. She was named Straits Times 30 and under Young Singaporeans to Watch, and also on the prestigious 40 Under 40. Samantha Tien, who is founder of Sustainable, is on the line with us. Samantha, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, good.
Thanks for having me today.
Oh, well, it's good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. So let's first of all talk about the story behind Sustainable. It happened all back in 2017. How did the original funds come in, and what triggered you to make protecting the environment your purpose?
So in 2017, I was just about to graduate from NUS, and I used to give tuition. So I kind of saved up the money to start with metal straws, because I realized in Singapore there wasn't many alternatives. And being an avid lover of bubble tea, I always say I wanted to find a way to drink more sustainably, yeah.
Wait. Blend the two for us here. An avid lover of bubble tea, and that's inspired sustainability. Could you expand on that a bit?
Sorry, we wasn't clear. So I've been diving for over 10 years.
You know, right.
I do love the ocean very much. Always wanted to do something to protect the environment. And I wanted to start small and simple.
Okay.
So that's why I focused on, you know, straws in the beginning. But pretty much, you know, I've done a lot of conservation work in the region. So, yeah.
Yeah, I see where they all come together. The straws problem is very bad.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, you mentioned bubble tea. I mean... Would I be remiss here in suggesting maybe you speak to your friends in the bubble tea industry, because often it comes in plastic cups with plastic straws. There's still a lot of work to be done across lots of industries about being more sustainable. This is your mission, right, at Sustainable, how we can better support marine conservation in our everyday lives with more awareness.
Yeah, you know, really, that's true. And, you know, I think the concept of marine protection varies from country to country. So in Singapore, I saw, you know, working with businesses and consumers as one avenue. But, you know, in other coastal communities where they don't have much education on marine environment, that's a different path of focus and pretty much, you know, what the Sustainable Grant is about.
So let's talk a little bit more about Sustainable social business, as we mentioned earlier on. You previously sold metal straws, reusable cups, plastic alternative products, and you did that to generate revenue, but you had to shut all of that down in order to stop encouraging consumerism. Could you tell us a little bit more about the decision behind that? How are you sustaining your business now?
Yeah, sure. So in 2017, you know, it was a new product. There weren't many, many alternatives. But, you know, I think it's amazing to see how the market has shifted in the past 4 years. You know, we do see all these green environmental products taking the front stage. So I did felt it wasn't the right way to keep selling products, you know, especially when we encourage people to reduce. So how we generate profit now is we really partner with, you know, a lot of agencies and businesses. So I provide a lot of consultancy services. At the same time, also, I'm a fellow at the Philip Yeo Initiative, and they've been really supportive in helping us sustain the business.
Okay, so through your sustainable grant, you've contributed over $30,000 to over 33 conservation projects across 5 countries and impacted over 5,200 individuals in local communities. So how did you raise the funds, and then how did you figure out which projects you were going to support?
Yeah, sure. So actually, we raised this fund really through the retail, and you know, we wanted to be very inclusive. So anyone who came to our website, you could buy stuff off our shop. And what we do is like we commit that, you know, 50% of the funds will go to be supporting these communities. And how do we choose what projects to support? It's really driven through a lot of our network. So, you know, here, unfortunately, you know, a lot of places don't have a great access to internet, for example, an island in the Philippines. You know, so it's a lot of me traveling around the region, finding the right partners. And I think that's really important, you know, to make sure that you're kind of aligned on your vision and purpose.
Do you still keep in touch with previous grant winners, you know, take a look at how they progress? Because you mentioned earlier on you provide consultancy. I assume that that's one way that you can ensure your vision continues to spread out across these various organizations.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, we are still in contact with all our partners. Some of the projects are repeat projects because the first was so successful. Mm. And what I've really been doing is helping them develop their expertise, especially in capability building, the training workshops they run, how do they brand their initiative. So that's pretty much, you know, a whole scope of services that we do. You know, we do want to see our grant projects, you know, it may be a one-off grant, but we do want to see the project, you know, go beyond its years. And that's the ultimate, you know, purpose of what we do.
Samantha, what's your overhead like? Or is it just Samantha, the lone superhero?
I think, you know, we used to have a lot of interns because as part of supporting the SME retail grant. But right now, I kind of just do it alone because I think we are really working across a whole network of Southeast Asia. So when we need help, you know, we can tap upon our grantees. You know, it's really a good community support, which has helped sustain the whole project and business.
So you're Captain Planet, lah?
No. Not Captain Planet, just someone who likes to pick treasures for other people.
Yeah, but it's good to have a community of people that you can tap into. Now, speaking of which, communities, our communities are being blighted at the moment by disposable plastic for both consumption and medical purposes. This is something that really came out of the pandemic. So we've seen lots of discarded single-use masks, gloves. They're washing up on shorelines and they're littering seabeds around the world. How do we strike a balance, though, between public health and clean oceans?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a huge problem. You know, I've been doing cleanups over the past year and we see, like, needles, masks, and it does pose a huge health risk. But at the same time, you know, all these PPE is really important in ensuring safety and sanitary conditions. So I think striking a balance, you know, simple things, you know, for masks, use a reusable one. But at the same time, you know, I think there needs to be a lot of government intervention. There needs to be infrastructure to make sure that all these waste is actually incinerated safely and doesn't dig into the environment. And of course, clean oceans, you know, if you ask me, I can talk forever, but I just, you know, reduce where you can and really try to have a bit more conscious thought, you know, in the way we buy things and use things.
It's very true, actually. Reusing or reducing is the first principle that needs to come to mind. So we often talk about how you got to replant trees and help, you know, with the oxygen and, you know, and the carbon effects. But we forget that greenery in the sea is just as important. Are you involved in, you know, replanting things like, I don't know, seagrass, mangroves? What's involved here? What kind of cost are we looking at?
Yeah, so we have established a partnership with Carbon Ethics, so they're based in Indonesia, and we look at really looking at carbon offsetting through replanting marine mangroves and seagrass, and we find that really important because it's kind of like a dual effect, right? A lot of these local islands used to rely on tourism that has been destroyed by COVID, and at the same time, you're also kind of really supporting an eco community and showing restoration. So a lot of people don't realize how important, you know, mangroves are in the whole ecosystem.
Yeah. You just said a lot of people don't realize how important mangroves are. I think a lot of people don't realize how urgent it is for us to do this work. With that in mind, you've joined forces to spearhead an initiative called Journey Through a Green Purpose. You're doing this with Green Nudge Singapore. It's a 12-week webinar series, which has just launched. How has it gone down? Are people responding well?
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, we kickstarted last weekend, post the SG Green Plan. And I think a lot of people are really interested to get into understanding how they can be part of the solution. But, you know, the whole idea of a sustainability career industry is so broad-based. So the whole webinar really is to dive into specific verticals. So people have a bit of flavor, you know, what the industry is like. And we've seen a great response. So we launched last weekend, and each session has over 70 participants asking many good questions. So some of the various subjects that address, for example, law as well. We want to do something a bit more fun, so green entrepreneurship. We also talked about packaging, waste, renewable energy. Unfortunately, you know, due to time constraints, only 12 verticals. I think if not, it would go all the way to 30 at least.
Wow. I do want to ask you for your candid view, though, on one thing, which is how do you feel Singapore is doing in general in terms of awareness about the issues? And do you feel that there's generational gaps? What's been your experience?
Well, you know, I think everyone is aware to what degree, right? Everyone knows a little bit about this issue, something we've been educated with. I think the challenge is how much do we care, right? Are we willing to forego convenience? Mm. I think that's the thing, you know, we've grown up with so much convenience, you know, using disposables, you know, everything's away from a click of a button. So it's how much effort we're willing to put in. But I do see a generational shift. You know, a lot of my peers feel it's really important to be in a job that's purposeful, that's supporting the environment. And I think companies will also come in to realize that having that will be a pillar for the future.
We're speaking with Samantha Tien, who is the founder of Sustainable on our Sustainable Singapore segment. Samantha, you mentioned at the start that you like diving. Coral reefs, I can imagine this is quite a complicated situation to attend to. Is this something that you're looking at as well?
No, I wish I would say, you know, I've always told my parents I wanted to be a marine biologist when I grew up, but I'm not. But there is a lot of work being done on coral reefs on St. John's Island.
Okay.
You know, it's really good. You could check them out, especially this researcher, Mei Lin. She looks at corals. You know, one of the challenges is that, you know, when global warming happens, you know, the whole temperature of the ocean rises, the whole corals get bleached, you know, it's just really tragic. And I think it's going to be a very big problem for years to come, but we really need collective effort, not just from businesses, but countries all over the world to really reduce our carbon footprint.
Yeah, we get to see them when we go diving or snorkeling and we enjoy it. Can you imagine that a couple of generations down the road, they probably won't even know what it is or what it looks like.
Yeah.
That's just that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is really sad. But, you know, let's move to less sad matters, which is that the Green Plan, the Singapore Green Plan 2030, is something that's set to radically change the way we work, study and play over the next 10 years or so. What is your take on the newly unveiled plan? Obviously, this was a core part of Budget 2021 as well, to see that there is money being put behind the push towards a greener future.
Yeah, you know, I think it's great that, you know, this is recognized as a pillar in Singapore. So I think these targets have been set out. I'd be really keen to see how these kind of effects in terms of roadmaps, how do we actually get there? One gap that I see, you know, which is the whole reason why we had these webinars, is because we realize sustainability education is also still lacking at higher education. So I'll be really interested to see how that kind of fleshes out the future.
On a personal note, you were named Straits Times Study and Under Young Singaporeans to Watch, also the prestigious 40 Under 40. I do want to get your thoughts on being recognized by this, but I want to twist it. Does it add pressure to, you know, expectation to live up to these titles, especially in a sphere like sustainability, a sector like sustainability, where not everyone is on board, let's face it?
Yeah, no, it's very stressful. But, you know, I'm really humbled, you know, to be given, you know, this recognition. But it's also very stressful because sometimes, like, to be very candid, when I go to the bubble tea shop and I forget my straw, I'm like, oh my goodness, what if someone sees me and takes a picture and stomps me?
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. But I realized that, you know, it's a good platform to kind of share some of the challenges people face in the sustainability space. And, you know, I really want to make it more inclusive and show that everyone can be part of it, right? You don't have to be full on sustainable. You know, every little action really counts, and that's the important part of it.
Yeah, but you raise a good thing, actually. I try to be much more sustainable in my everyday life, but I feel like the systems around me still aren't there yet. It makes it difficult. Is that true?
Yeah, for sure. You know, for example, when we want to recycle items, everything goes into the blue bin, and you don't get to segregate it, similar like Japan and Korea. But, you know, I think that's also because we are still a small nation. The waste that we generate, you know, it doesn't make sense to segregate. And all these things, I think, will take time to develop effective solutions. But, you know, what I really always encourage people is that, you know, despite all these challenges, we really hope that you just try. And it doesn't matter if sometimes you fail. You know, as long as you share and we know that we're doing this together for a greater purpose, you know, I think that's you know, really enough.
Yeah, every little bit counts. And at the end of the day, it's all about developing habits, right? So Samantha, what's next for Sustainable then? What are your plans for 2021?
So we are just, you know, really focusing on our cleanup community, which is the East Coast Beach Plan. So we have over 2,800 people there. You know, we're really looking to raise awareness in a positive way about the problems of trash. And, you know, a lot of people assume that trash comes from the beach that's washed up. But we also see a lot of trash from, like, beachgoers or, like, a lot of people just throwing cigarette butts on the ground. So we want to focus on that, educating consumers. And we hope that, you know, ultimately less trash goes into the ocean or gets ingested by, you know, environments like birds and marine creatures.
Yeah, trash. Sometimes people are described as trash as well.
I just never understood it. I've never understood why people leave their trash.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know,
just... No, you go to Japan, right? They don't have bins anywhere. So you're forced to carry your trash or cigarette butts. You have to buy one of those like metal covers and you keep your cigarette butt till you come across a dustbin. Half the things I was carrying when I was in Japan was trash.
Trash. Take it home with you. Dispose of it properly.
Yeah, all about habits. Samantha Thien, who is founder of Sustainable, on the line with us this morning. Samantha, really appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
No worries. Thank you for having me and have a great week ahead.
You too. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.